Well, good morning again. Thank you for joining us in worship. And Ashlyn, thank you so much for that beautiful offertory. We appreciate it. Where'd she go? Oh, well, she left early. I don't blame her. The sermon is happening now. So, but that was wonderful. She is an incredibly gifted person, and we have many gifted people here in the church, and we are blessed by the sharing of their gifts. We do thank you for being here today. I want to remind you there is a devotional guide for you in the bulletin today, and it's there each and every week. And we continue it today, of course, as we continue in our series on the 23rd Psalm on this Pentecost Sunday. And so like we've done the last couple of weeks, I'd like for us to read this psalm together because it means so much to so many of us. And so let's read it together again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Please pray with me. Lord, we sent your Holy Spirit here, especially on this day of Pentecost. Without this day, Lord, without your Spirit, we could never be guided. We could never be empowered. It is by your Spirit that the church thrives. It is by your Spirit that we're able to follow you and to accomplish the amazing high call you give to us. And now, Lord, you have given to me the amazing privilege and responsibility of preaching your word to these my friends and your servants, Lord, and I certainly need your Holy Spirit in order to do it. So, Lord, please speak to me and through me in such a way that all of us receive a word from you that will make a difference to our lives. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Some of you in the congregation today may remember and know the name Norman Vincent Peale. He wrote the book, The Power of Positive Thinking, was the pastor of Marble Collegiate Church for many, many years, had a big influence on many people over the years in this country and throughout the world. But Peale, when he was alive, used to love to tell the story of when he finished speaking at a Rotary meeting. And after he'd given his speech at that meeting, a man came up to him and said, Dr. Peale, I have to talk to you. You've changed my life. And Peale said, well, tell me more about it. The man said, 2 years ago, I was at rock bottom. My marriage was failing. I was failing at work. I was contemplating suicide. And one day I was at work and I was down at the dumps and I was looking at my desk and I saw this article that you wrote. And in that article, you wrote something very interesting. You said, the wisest thing anybody could do is to take God as their partner. So at that very moment in my office, I knelt down next to my desk and I said, Lord, I know I don't come to you often and I'm not sure how this works, but I need help. My marriage is failing. My life is failing. I'm failing at work. I desperately need your help. Could you please help me? And the man said, Dr. Peale, within 2 weeks, things changed in my life. I got these new ideas at work. My marriage improved. Things began to improve all over my life. I had this joy. And I want to thank you because now I just don't go to God for emergencies. I take God as my partner. Well, this morning, church, I want to reveal to you something so powerfully simple that sometimes we miss it. God wants to be our partner in life. He wants to guide us. He wants to direct us. He wants to lead us. He wants to give us wisdom. And that's one of the things we remember and celebrate on this Pentecost Sunday, that we have the very Spirit of Almighty God available to us. And that very Spirit wants to guide us in life and wants to strengthen us in life. And as I look over my life and how I've allowed God to guide me, it's been amazing because I can never get to the places I have been without the very Holy Spirit of God. And so this morning, I want to share with all of us how I believe we can allow God to guide us, because I imagine there are a few of you in the sanctuary today who need to know how God can guide you. Maybe you have a decision to make in your life, and you're not sure which way to go. Maybe there's a fork in the road in your life and you don't know where to turn. Maybe you're disoriented. Maybe your life is turned upside down and you don't know which end is up and you don't know where to go. And you need God to guide you. And so my message today is just about that. But you may be thinking, well, Charlie, how does that work exactly? I hear people talk all the time about God led me here and God led me there and God guided me there and I sense God going with me there. But how in the world does that work? And maybe you're confused by that. Well, to be honest with you, there was a season in my life where I was confused by that too. And I've learned some lessons in ministry, lessons in faith. I want to share with you today because one of the big things that I've learned about allowing God to guide us is that it's not so much about gaining a new insight or having a new experience as it is flushing away wrong thinking, flushing away wrong assumptions, flushing away wrong behavior. And one of the things I've learned when it comes to allowing God to guide us is this particular lesson, and I need to learn it daily. And it's that speed kills. Speed kills. There's a reason why David said in this psalm, he leads me beside still waters. He leads me beside still waters. You know, when I was serving in Orlando, that's when I developed a very bad habit. And that was I took up golf. It's a terrible habit. But I began to play golf there in Orlando. And one of the first pros that I went to was a very interesting guy. He was very philosophical, had lots of interesting insights. And one of the things I noticed in his office was behind his desk was a big sign that had in big letters, "Speed kills." And I didn't know what he meant by that. So I looked at him and I said, "Did you work for the Department of Transportation before you became a golf pro?" He said, "No, Charlie, you don't know what that means." I said, "Well, I'm a beginning golfer. Please share with me." He said, "So many amateur golfers think that the secret to golf is hard and fast. You want to hit the ball long? Hit it hard. Swing fast. But rapid movement kills a swing." And he said, "You know, as a preacher, the same thing is true in life. The more we rush, the faster we go, we miss things completely and can be very destructive." He was right. When we rush around so much in life, we can miss so much from the shepherd. And one of the things I've discovered in my life and in other people's life is when it comes to God guiding them and the Holy Spirit leading them, so often they miss it because they are rushing. They are going too fast. They are addicted to hurry. And boy, is our culture addicted to hurry, isn't it? In fact, our culture likes to hurry so much that we've developed a new measurement of time. Maybe you've heard of it. The honk a second. You know what a honk a second is? It's when you're at a stoplight and it's the time between the light turning green and the person behind you beginning to lay on their horn. You know what I'm talking about? When I was an associate here many years ago, I remember being at a light here in Lakeland and I was listening to some holy music like Van Halen or Def Leppard or something like that. And I wasn't really paying attention to the light and the light turned green unbeknownst to me. And all of a sudden, this truck behind me began to lay on his horn. And I said, "Oh, sorry." And I went forward. Well, of course, a few seconds later, that truck accelerated and passed me. And I kid you not, I noticed on his bumper, it was a little bit faded. It was a little bit rough, but there was a bumper sticker that was tattered that said, "Honk if you love Jesus." And I began to think that man must be the holiest man in Polk County. Of course, it reminded me of another bumper sticker, and I like this one better. "Tithe if you love Jesus, anybody can honk." Now that'll preach, church. But we're such in a hurry these days. We're so much in a rush. We want everything now. We want everything to be convenient. We look at our phone and we have Amazon and we want to order something at the push of a button. Give it to us now. We have Uber Eats. Deliver our food now. Faster food, faster cars, faster internet. I read recently that when it comes to going on the internet, if we don't see that a site downloads in 1.5 seconds or within those 1.5 seconds, we'll go to another site. We're in such a rush. And so often we're in a rush because we think we're saving time. all this technology, that we're saving time. Let me ask you, are we saving time? No, we simply have more stress. And sociologists have done studies on voicemail and texting and email. It actually creates less time and more stress. How fast are you going these days? And are you missing something from the Holy Spirit? Because I tell you, a key theme in this psalm that David wanted to show us is that God wants to lead us. He leads me in the right paths. He leads me beside still waters. But God will not compete with noise or busyness. Chuck Swindoll, that great Christian writer, talks about the time when he was in a period in his life when he was very irritable and very curt with family, with friends, because he was just so busy. Had to go to that meeting, had to go to this meeting, had to accomplish this, had to accomplish that. And he was at dinner one night with his family, and he was rushing through dinner. And he said, his little daughter looked at him and said, "Daddy, Daddy, I want to tell you something, but I'll say it really, really quickly." He said, "Sweetheart, you can say it slowly." And she replied, "Well, Daddy, then listen slowly." And a little child shall lead them. Maybe you're missing the guidance of God in your life because you're going way too fast. Abba Anthony was a great desert father, very wise. And one time someone went to him and asked him this question, "Father Anthony, what must one do to please God?" He said, "Three things." The first two were quite obvious. He said, "Always be aware of God's presence and always obey God's word." But he said, "The third thing is, wherever you find yourself, do not easily leave." I tell you, I've remembered that in my life because I have learned, church, that God has something to teach us in every season of our life. God has something to show us in every chapter of our lives. God has something to help us grow in every point of our lives. You see, in this psalm, it's very clear. The shepherd guides us, leads us to still waters. Did you know that sheep are so terrified, easily terrified, they will not drink from rushing water? And that's why the shepherd has to lead them to still waters, so they will be still and they will drink. And that's what the Lord wants us to do today. You want to be guided by God today? Know that speed kills and you need to slow down. Here's another thing I've learned when it comes to being guided by God. It's a lesson I've had to learn over and over again. It's painfully obvious, but it's the truth. God knows best. Amen? God knows best. Now, on a Sunday morning like this, it's easy to believe that, isn't it? You know, surrounded by the prayers and the music and the fellowship and all the smiles. Yes, God knows best. But Monday through Saturday, sometimes we know best, or we think we know best. Amen? And sometimes when we believe that, we make bad decisions. A lady once had a heart attack and was rushed to the hospital. And she had a near-death experience on the operating table. She came face to face with God. And she said, "God, is this it? Is this it?" And God said, "No, you have 30 more years to live." She said, "Oh, great." So when she woke up, she said, "Well, I got 30 more years. I want a tummy tuck and some liposuction. I want to change my hair color." And so she did all that. She got out of the hospital finally. She walked across the street, and she was struck and killed by an ambulance. And she went to heaven and went to God and said, "God, I thought you said I had 30 more years to live." And God said, "I know, but I didn't recognize you." When we take matters into our own hands, sometimes bad things happen. Sometimes when it comes to being guided by God, and I've experienced this, sometimes we need to be humbled. And remember, we don't know everything. And that God knows best. Sometimes we have to lean back into the original reason why so many of us came to Jesus Christ. Because we realize we can't manage life on our own. And we said, Lord Jesus, I need your strength in order to do this work. I need your strength in order to raise kids. I need your strength to get through the day. I need your strength, Lord, to get through life. Because I can't do it on my own and I don't know everything. That's why so many of us originally came to Jesus Christ. Lord, I give up control. But so often we want to take back control. And that's when so many of us get in trouble. Bishop Hugh McConnell was a great bishop. And when he retired, he went to live on a chicken farm. Not my idea of retirement, but that's what he wanted to do. So he moved his whole family to this chicken farm. And they were glad to be there. But when they first got there, they could hardly sleep because every night at 2 a.m. the rooster would crow and wake everybody up. Every single night the rooster would crow and wake everybody up. And they weren't getting sleep. And McConnell said, I had to figure out what was going on. So he stayed up all night one night, and this is what he figured out. Around 2 a.m. every night, this train would come around a bend and flash its headlights on the chicken house, and the rooster, thinking it was the sun, would begin to crow. The rooster mistook the headlight for the sun. I know many people who mistake headlights for dawns because they think they know best. There are many people in prisons who mistook headlights for dawns. And when we're not guided by the Spirit and open to the Spirit, sometimes we can mistake headlights for dawns. I love this text in Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. Well, speed kills and God knows best. But there's one other thing I want to mention to you today that I've learned when it comes to being guided by the Spirit and guided by God. And my gosh, today in the church, it's a word that so much needs to be repeated. And it is this: God is bigger than we think. God is bigger than we think. And that's one thing that today in our theology we need to learn. Because what troubles me a lot when it comes to the church today is that so many people think they have God in their back pocket. There's a theology today that has become very popular, and it's called Neo-Calvinism. And one thing about that theology and those who follow it is they believe they have God all figured out. God said this, and God said that, and I know God would do this, and I know God's will. And I want to say, oh, really? Tell me, how do you know so much? One of the things that we have forgotten in the church, or many of us have, is we have lost the idea is that God is great mystery. We've lost the idea of the wideness of God, the massiveness of God. And I'll tell you this, if we could know everything there is to know about God, God would not be big enough to believe in. But that doesn't stop so many churches. I mean, churches will go to war on worship styles as if there's only one way to worship God. Preachers will debate on preaching styles as if there's only one way to talk about God. And theologians will battle theology as if there's only one way to think about God. I tell you, as a pastoral counselor, and I have talked to people who have struggled and they want to be guided by God, so often I've seen folks that they are stuck because they have these preconceived assumptions about how God is supposed to work in their life. They have these preconceived ideas as to how God appears in their life. And this, their ideas about Almighty God. I remember counseling a guy many, many years ago. His parents were missionaries. And he thought that's what God wanted him to do, to be a missionary. And he was miserable. For 20 years, he was a missionary, and he was miserable. And by his own admission, he was terrible at it. But he believed his whole life that's what God wanted him to do. Because his parents were missionaries. And through several sessions and conversations, he would come to learn that it was a wrong assumption. And he finally became a counselor. And he was finally happy and filled with joy. Maybe today you need to question your assumptions about God. and how he's supposed to work in your life and what he wants you to do. Maybe you assume all these things. You need to say, Lord, I want to be guided by you. I want to be guided by your Spirit. And so, not my will, but yours be done. I give to you all my wrong assumptions. I have a clean slate, Lord. Just guide me in my life. And I tell you, God will. But we have to let those things go. You know, Meister Eckhart said, the only hell we experience in life is the things we refuse to let go of. I close with this. I heard a story one time from a pastor many of you know well. He has a very short last name. But he talked about the time when he took his family to Sweden for a vacation. And they went to the family zoo. And they noticed something really strange, that all these children with their binkies, their pacifiers, would go to this pit and just throw their binkies in this pit. And they would cry as they did it. And Riley said, this was strange. I know our cultures are different, but I got to find out what's going on. So Riley, he went to talk to one of the zookeepers, the attendants, and said, what is going on? And they looked in the pit, and there were hundreds and hundreds of binkies there in the pit. And the man said, oh, that's pacifier heaven. I said, I'm sorry? Yeah, that's pacifier heaven. You see, in our community and culture, when children reach an age where they're supposed to give up their binkies, they come here, it's a ritual, and they throw their binkies into the pit. Now they cry when they do it, but they know they have gotten to the place where they need to give it up. You want to be guided by God today? Maybe it's time to give up some of those pacifiers. Your ego, your desire to control, your urge to rush, your assumptions about God. The shepherd leads us in the right paths, if we allow him to. And this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Let's pray. Oh Lord, I pray for each and every person in this sanctuary today. You know their hearts, you know the decisions they have to make in their lives, you know the stress that's on them. Oh Lord, by the power of your Spirit, I ask that you would just slow them down so they could be still and know that you're God. Oh, Lord, expand our horizons. Expand our ideas of you. Forgive us when we put you in a box. Surprise us, oh, Lord, with your grace and your love in ways we never thought of. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you again for worshiping with us this morning. Receive this benediction. And now may that mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you also. May the love of God, our Heavenly Father, abide with you this day and throughout this week. May the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit fall fresh upon you. And the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ go with you and sustain you, both now and forevermore. Amen.